We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
But to talk more about that, Zach Heilprin, our guy out there at the Zone in Madison, our fine affiliate out there from 96.7 FM and 1670 AM, the sports director, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. So, Zach, for those that may not have been following this as closely, Quintez Cephas found almost immediately not guilty. They didn't believe the account by the women, and now he wants to play football again. So, you know, has it been basically stymied by Wisconsin by saying, no, we just simply can't let you back in because we don't want the bad press? Or what are they waiting on?
Yeah, I think it's... We all know government bureaucracy and how long things take sometimes to get done. And in this situation, obviously, time is of the essence for Quintez Cephas. So he wants it done, or he wants an answer right away. Wisconsin not yet willing to give him an answer right away. They are claiming, according to Cephas's attorneys, that they need more documentation. They need the transcripts from the trial. Which, according to Cephas's attorneys, would take up to 3 months to get. I don't know if maybe they could be expedited and get him in 2 months. Either way, that's not going to get him back into school soon enough to start the semester, and that's not going to get him back into, you know, good academic standing. So really, this is all about time. And I think, you know, the press conference yesterday is trying to put pressure on UW to get the answer back sooner rather than later, because time is of the essence in this situation. I don't know what UW is going to do, but it does seem like they're trying to push this decision past where he would be able to be here and be a part of the team this semester. So that I think is where the Cephas's attorneys are upset.
Now, I guess here's my thought process. Tell me if I'm right or wrong in your opinion. They don't want the bad PR, so they are going to, one, ask for the transcripts, two, they're going to push it off as long as they can, and three, if they can go through the transcripts and find anything that becomes a violation, they can say, well, he wasn't convicted, but he did this. This is against our code of ethics, and this is the reason we can keep him out. It sounds to me like if you really wanted him back, you make a way to get him back, and if you don't want him back, you're going to stymie this thing all the way through and through, correct?
Well, I think the non-academic misconduct code, it's like 20 things that could be on there, and whether he violated those or not, I mean, the penalty he's already served for is sitting out a season, right? So, look, they did not have all the evidence when they went through this whole thing the first time around, because he was unable to really take part in his own defense in this in the investigation, the Title IX investigation, because of his ongoing criminal case.
And right.
So they want the evidence that was not, you know, available or was not presented to be presented, and for them to consider that, and they think that is enough. They shouldn't have to go through the transcripts to get them. I don't think this is, I mean, if they think saying no to him is going to be good for PR, they're crazy. I mean, the PR that will come when they say no is not going to be local. It's going to be national. A young black man found not guilty of sexual assault, now not being allowed back in to finish his education
right
first, and to then, you know, have an opportunity to play college football. The PR will be much, much worse if they don't let him back in than it will be if they were to let him in. I think it's a local story if they let him back in. It's already becoming a national story with him not being allowed back in.
What do you think ultimately happens here? Give me your sense.
You know, before the verdict, I thought he would be found not guilty. I didn't think he'd want to come back to Wisconsin. I didn't think there was any chance of him playing for Wisconsin again. I think eventually they're going to that he is going to be allowed back in. I think he's going to be. I doubt it will happen here these next 3 weeks. So I don't think you'll see him on the field this year. But I think there's evidence there to show that he wasn't in violation of the misconduct code. We don't know exactly what he was expelled for. That's the other thing. But I think that there's evidence there that shows he's not. And so I think they're going to let him back in. Whether that is going to be in time for the season, I doubt it. But again, at some point, I think he will be.
How much do you think, because I know when we talk anything with athletics, we always look upward, and that's Barry Alvarez. How much do you think Barry Alvarez is pressing to get him back?
no one's heard from Barry so far, right? But I think the message that was sent by the football team last week by Paul Chris saying if he's allowed back in, we want him back. He's part of this team, and we would love to have him back. The players sending a letter to Becky Blank, seven players, and then 18 showing up yesterday to show their support. I think that is the athletic department showing its support. Now, getting in contact with have attempted to get in contact with Barry and plan to follow up on that to get his take on it. But I do think the athletic department is has the same stance as the players have shown here, or else maybe we don't see the players as involved as they have been. But I think Paul Chris' message coming out and saying what he did last week, where he said, you know, this, and he wasn't even asked about Quintez Cephas. He brought it up himself. The athletic department believes he should be back in.
Do you think so? I agree with you. But if they wanted him back, there's a way to expedite this. The only thing I can think of is that the academia side is saying, "Why are you expediting it for a football player when you wouldn't do that for anybody else?" So you go through the process, and that I can understand.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. You don't want to have any special circumstances. And I mean, I think it's probably worthwhile remembering that this whole process, you know, started April of 2018, where that alleged incident occurred and no charges were filed until August. And then from August, he wasn't actually expelled until March. So this, I mean, things have not moved fast in this whatsoever. The trial was pushed from February back to July, August. So, I mean, this whole thing has gone really slow. You know, just in terms of, you know, the expediting and getting it up to speed, it's bureaucracy just doesn't, you know, and I know it's difficult for all of us to understand, just doesn't move quickly. But again, we'll see if the public pressure the attorneys have put on them, and they put on a lot, has any effect. I will say this, Becky Blank, the chancellor for UW, was actually out of town, as of last week, was in Hawaii. So, the players had wanted to meet with her personally. She wasn't available, and that's the reason why they wrote this letter that came out yesterday.
So, well, the next question is, when is she back?
Yeah, that's a good. I don't know the answer to that. I imagine she'll be back soon, but she's the one that has the final decision making. I get power to make. She's the shot caller on this one.
How does it look beyond Quintez Cephas? And we all know that he has talent and he can certainly add something to this team, but beyond Quintez Cephas, what is this team shaping up to be? Give me your thoughts as you've seen some of these practices.
Yeah, we've gotten to see, I think, five practices so far. We'll get a few more here this week and then they close things up. But I think the biggest surprise has been the quarterback battle, where I think we all talked about how it was going to be Graham Mertz versus Jack Cohn. And, you know, that really hasn't materialized. And I think Wisconsin's team is always going to be tough in the trenches, and it's going to be tough to have a good running game, and I think the secondary is going to be improved. But whether their ability to reach the heights that so many people thought they would last year, it's going to come down to the quarterback. And so far, Jack Cohn, again, I know it's a very small sample size and nobody wants to hear it, but he's actually been really, really good. And I think he's been impressive with every single practice that we've seen. And I think it's clear that he's currently the number one quarterback. We asked John Budmeyer, the quarterback's coach, yesterday, you know, whether that was clear to him. And he said they're not ready to name a starter yet. But he's getting 60% of the reps. And then Graham Mertz and Chase Wolf are getting the other 40% with the starters. And, you know, even be more honest, Chase Wolf is, I would say, the number two quarterback right now. And Graham Mertz, the highly touted freshman, would be the third guy. But it's going to come down to Jack Cohn and him having taken that step from last year. And they're doing some different things, Bill, with the offense, that guys that we have not seen, using Jonathan Taylor, Garrett Groshek in the backfield together, a lot of guys moving, you know, some pistol. We've seen a whole bunch of different stuff that Wisconsin has not shown in the last, what, since Paul Chris came back. So I think it's exciting. I think people are going to be excited to see this team.
Are people going to be excited, though, if Jack Cohn's under center? The only way they're excited is if they move the ball, if Jonathan Taylor's running wild, and if they're putting the ball in the end zone consistently. Otherwise, they're going to be screaming for Graham Mertz.
They are, and the problem is he's not ready. Now, look, the first 5 days of camp were all about install, and John Budmeyer, as I said, the quarterback's coach, talked about how his mind was, you know, trying to process everything, and you could tell in his feet, because his feet were all over the place, and he struggled. But he said the last few days he's looked better. But again, he's not making plays at the same rate the other two guys are. And maybe that changes. And again, I've said this a couple of times in various places, but you know, 2 years ago at this time, Jonathan Taylor was fifth on the depth chart. He had not had his breakout scrimmage on a Friday night, you know. And so things can change, but we're only, what, 16 days away from the opener?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be shocked if it's not going to be Jack Cohn in the starter. Now, that doesn't mean that Chase Wolf or Graham Mertz isn't going to play at some point this year, but right now it's Jack Cohn's job.
Yeah, okay. Hey, real quick before I let you go, you're sitting alongside me at the Packers game the other night. I've gotten mixed reviews from many people that witnessed this. Give me your thoughts.
Just
on the Packers game in general.
Yeah, well, I think we both were not big fans of the foghorn. I think that was the star of the that was the big star of the game, right? Wasn't that the biggest talking point?
Yeah, that was. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, I think you know, obviously, the running game wasn't great, but I thought, as Matt LaFleur said after the game, it helped the play action. Jamon Moore, a little bit of a mixed bag catching the ball, but the guy who just continues to stand out is, you know, is Jake Kumerow. And the fact that he was not in the game at the end of the thing, I'd be shocked if he's not on the 53 come what,
yeah,
September 5th when they open the season. I thought, you know, he looked good, and I think he's receiver number four at this point. And defensively, took the ball away, gave up way too many yards.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's preseason game number one, 16 starters sitting out. I think we'll find a little bit, maybe we'll learn a little bit more about Matt LaFleur and the offense and what things are going to look like on Thursday, though.
Crossing my fingers.
Who knows?
No doubt. Good
yeah.
stuff as always, Zach. Appreciate the updates, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, Bill. Thanks.
See you, pal. There you go. Sports director for 96.7 FM, 1670 AM, The Zone, our fine affiliate out in Madison, giving you a lowdown on what's going on over there at UW, because I think it's an interesting conundrum.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.